This afternoon we're going to think about the Psalm 123, a Song of Degrees. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Here in this psalm, the writer is lifting up his eyes to God, the one that dwells in heaven. In the Psalm 121, the writer talked about lifting up his eyes unto the hills. But this writer goes one step further and he lifts up his eyes to the heavens. And not just to the heavens, but to the one that dwells in the heavens. His eyes are upon the Lord. The key to understanding this psalm is to appreciate the eyes. In verse 1, he's lifting up his eyes. In verse 2, the eyes of the servants are looking onto the hand of their masters. The eyes of the maiden are looking onto the hand of their mistresses. And then he says, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. So it is clear that there's a strong emphasis here upon the eyes, upon where we are looking. What are you looking for in life? What are your aims? What are your ambitions? As we think of our eyes, we think of looking forward, and we sometimes use the eyes as a metaphor for our hopes, our dreams, our ambitions. What are you looking for? What are you anticipating? What are your goals in this world? Well, as I think of the goals that people have, I think of many diverse aims, hopes, dreams. A young woman having that ambition for marriage and to be a mother. That is a good and worthy ambition. Her eyes are fixed upon that. A young man hoping to achieve well in business or in the career, settle down. Good hopes, good dreams. Some people have baser ambitions. All they care about is money, wealth. Others aim for fame. Others just live for pleasure, for the weekend, for the bottle, for the companionship in the pub. Wherever you are today, in the quietness of your heart, you just think about what your goals and what your ambitions are. And does God fit into your dreams? Does God fit into your dreams? D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, talked about a young man whom he knew. And he had a class of boys, a class of young men, and he taught them the gospel. They all got saved except this one young man. And so he talked to this young man and he said to him, what are your hopes? What are your dreams? The young man went on to talk about marriage. Mr. Moody said, what then? The young man went on to talk about travelling west. Mr. Moody said, what then? And the young man talked about making his fortune out west. And Mr. Moody said, what then? I'll have a nice home. I'll be able to raise my family. Mr. Moody said, what then? And he kept asking the question until he brought the young man right up to the end of his life. And when he was going to die, Mr. Moody said, what then? What's going to happen after that? And I could say that to you. You have your hopes for this year, for next year, for 5 years' time. And I could keep saying, what then? What then? What then? And if God spares you 5, 10, 15, 20, even 30 years, what then? Well, ultimately, we know we're going to die. Ultimately, we know that there's a hole in the ground and we're all going to go there. And what then? Will that be the end of it? And will all of your hopes and dreams in this world, if you realize them, if you're fortunate enough to achieve your potential, as you see your potential, what's going to happen then? Will it be of any benefit to you beyond death? Will you take your wealth beyond the grave? Will you take your success beyond the grave? Will God look at earthly success and will he say, yes, I'm very pleased with that, come you into my heaven? What's going to happen on that day? You see, God needs to be part of our plans. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have wealth or to be successful. There's nothing wrong with these things in their own place, but if they become more important than God, they become an idol to us. And therein we break the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You don't have to be bowing down to an idol of wood or stone. to have another god. People are worshipping the god of money. People are worshipping the god of fame. People are worshipping the god of material possessions. People are worshipping these things today. They're putting them before God, and maybe you're doing that very thing. Where are your eyes? What are you looking for? Who are you looking towards? What is the most important thing in your life? Well, here in Psalm 123, this old Hebrew poet, he said, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." He's looking to God. And he's looking to God as one who is the servant of God. And he uses the metaphor of an old servant in ancient times. And the servant was there looking for the hand of the master. And the maid was there looking for the hand of the mistress. And they were looking at their master and their mistress with complete subjection. Absolutely submissive to the will of the master. Just waiting for the hand beckoning them so that they would go and do what was required of them. They had to keep their eye upon the hand of the master. And so this poet, he said, we are the servants of God. We need to be looking to God that we might do his will. We need to be submissive to God. We need to reverence God. He is the creator. He has given us life. And we should be doing his will. Is doing the will of God really important? It ought to be. Because we are his creatures. You would not have life today if it were not for God. You would not have the time that you have if it were not for God. And therefore, we need to be thinking about the will of God, looking out for his will. And where do we see the will of God? We find the will of God in the Bible. And what does God the Creator tell us? God the Creator tells us that we are sinners. The first great lesson of Scripture, that we are all sinners. We are born in sin. All have sinned. We have not kept God's law. We are an imperfect race, and imperfection means sinfulness. If there was no sin in the world, we would all be perfect. And we are not perfect. We know that because we are sinners. But God has also shown us how we can be redeemed. We are ruined, and then he has redeemed us, and he has sent his son to die for us, that great gift. And God revealed his hand as he sent his son into the world to suffer in our place. Jesus Christ died, the just for the unjust. He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. And there's new life available. But how can you receive this new life? You need to repent of your sin. You need to realize it. Christ alone is the answer. You need a new beginning, and this new beginning can only be found in Jesus Christ. Are you lifting up your eyes to the Lord today? Are you listening to his word? Are you going to follow him? The psalmist was deriving great comfort in difficult times by looking up to God, because he looked around him and he saw a people that were persecuting him. He saw troubles, he saw problems, he saw the scorning of those that were at ease. He saw proud people who had no time for him. But yet in the midst of all of those problems, he looked up to God. And sometimes we're guilty of looking around at our problems. It fills us with distress. And maybe you have many problems today. You have grief, you have sorrow, you have difficulties. And they're encroaching upon you, and you're looking around at these problems, and they get you down. The Bible tells us here, lift up your eyes. Don't look around and don't look down. Lift up. Lift up your eyes to God. The one who knows all your needs. The one who is a heavenly Father who cares for us as we sorrow. The one who loves us with an everlasting love. Turn your eyes upon Jesus today. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talked about looking. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I thank you so much for listening.